Isaiah chapter 46. You know, the word tells us that when one part of the body of Christ suffers, the whole body suffers. When we're instructed to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And this week, as many of you, I'm sure, already know, a part of our body suffered a particularly difficult loss. John and Sherry Olson's daughter and son-in-law, Zach and Amelia Buck, at 27 weeks pregnant, Amelia and Zach found out that the baby that they had had a particular birth defect that basically gave him a 1% chance or less of survival. And they carried the baby to full term, knowing that the odds were that when that baby was born, it was either going to be stillborn or pass away shortly after being born. This week, Maximus, their son, was born, and he lived for an hour and 1 minute before he went home to be with Jesus. John and Sherry lost a grandbaby. Zach and Amelia lost a son. Their children lost a sibling, and it's hard. And I wrestled with what to preach this week, because obviously there's a lot of heavy hearts, and this is a heavy topic. And the last thing I would ever want is to use somebody else's tragedy as, you know, a jumping off point for a sermon, or to cause anybody to feel like I'm taking circumstances and using that to, you know, to preach from. But the more I wrestled against God's prodding and poking, the more he prodded and poked me to go this direction. So this morning, I really believe that this message is something straight from the Lord, and I pray that he will anoint me and enable me to deliver it in the way that he's spoken it to me throughout this week. But all week long, I have had one word ringing over and over and over in my head. And that word is carried. Carried. As I was praying for Zach and Amelia and for the Buck family and the Olson family as they were going through this difficult time, and the pregnancy, the labor was a long, difficult labor. It was just, I mean, it's been a hard week for their family. And as I'm lifting them up in prayer, and as I was seeking God for them on their behalf, the word carried just kept ringing over and over in my head. God kept telling me over and over, I'm carrying them. Even though the situation that they're going through is so heartbreaking and so difficult, I'm carrying them. And this morning, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to each one of you and let you know, whether you're in the middle of something now, whether you've come out of something, or whether you're about to walk into something, God has you and he's carrying you. This word this morning is applicable to all of us, because even though we may not all be facing tragedy or grief or heartache in our lives right now, it's something none of us are immune to. We'll all go through grief at some point in this life. Yet through everything, we can be reassured that in the midst of our deepest sorrow, our darkest night, God is carrying us. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, specifically to the children of Israel, but more generally to all of his children, including you and I. It says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I come before you completely humbled to be able to deliver your word to your people. Lord, of myself, I can do nothing. Father, I ask for your leading, for your anointing. Speak through me the words that you would have your people to hear. God, I pray that you would minister in a special way to each one of us. Encourage us, each one today. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the thanks and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Anoint your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. Basically, what God is saying is from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb to the time you're old and gray and have one foot in the grave, God is carrying you. Every step that you take, if your faith and your hope is in Jesus Christ, every step that you take, God is carrying you. There's another verse in Deuteronomy that I really, really like, and it likens God carrying his people to the way a father carries his son. And as a father, I've carried my kids on more than one occasion when I'm too, you know, it's hot and they're climbing all over me. But you know, when they get hurt, they come running and they want to be held. And there's comfort. There's soothing when you're carried by your father. There's safety. If you're scared, you can run to your father and jump in his arms and he'll protect you. And you know that it doesn't matter how big or scary the whatever in your closet is. If you're in daddy's arms, daddy's got you. And this verse in Deuteronomy, it likens the way God carries us to the way a father carries his son. There's safety. There's comfort. There's soothing. There's freedom from pain. You know, a hug from daddy, a kiss from daddy can make the boo-boo just go away. And that's the way God is with us. And this morning, I just, to let you know, I am intentionally keeping the sermon short. And I intentionally did not receive prayer requests this morning because at the end of the sermon, I want to spend some time praying and I want to spend some time in worship. I want to highlight, before we do that though, I want to highlight three particular aspects of being carried by God. When we're facing grief and tragedy, it's so important that we're carried by God and that we know that we're carried by God. But there's three aspects that I want to bring out. Number one, in order to be carried by God, we need to be real with God. You have all no doubt heard it said that in order to overcome a problem, you have to first admit that you have one. In order to deal with a problem, you have to first admit that there's a problem there. And we need to be real with God. If you're facing tragedy, if you're struggling with grief, you need to be real with God and honest with God and tell him. Because if you don't, if you try and just tough through it, he can't carry you. He can't hold you up if your pride won't allow him to. And it's something, you know, you can't just ignore a problem and expect it to go away. I remember when I was in high school, my wife and I, our senior year, her best friend passed away in a car accident. And Brooke was so busy caring for her friends and taking care of everyone else's emotions that she never took time to actually deal with her own grief. She just kept pushing it down. And one night, about a year and a half later, we had gone out on a date. I think we went to a really cheesy movie and then got Jack in the Box. It was just a really laid-back evening. And we got back to my house, and we were sitting in my parents' living room, and out of just the clear blue, she just started sobbing, hysterically crying. She had choked that grief and that sadness down so long, but it didn't go away. The problem was still there. She never dealt with the root. The problem was still there. And one day when she least expected it, it came back up. She had a really big, good, long cry that night, which is something she should have done, you know, a year prior. But you can't just ignore a problem and expect it to go away. You have to admit that there is an issue. You have to admit, God, I'm struggling with sadness. I'm struggling with grief. I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with blaming somebody for this. In order for God to carry you through, in order for God to minister to those wounds, you have to at first admit that you have them and take them to the Lord in prayer. Which brings me to number two. It's important when you're dealing with grief to just be raw. You need to be real with God and admit that it's there. But it's important to just be raw with God. When it comes to the topic of grief and heartache, I can't think of any better example from the Bible than that of Job. Job was amazing. He sacrificed to God for his children every single day. He loved God with all his heart. But he was a man. He was a human, just like you and I. And after suffering devastating loss, after devastating loss, his children taken, all of his belongings taken, his wife telling him to turn his back on God, just curse God and die. After everything was stripped away from Job and he was literally left with nothing but his life, he got a little bitter. He got a little raw with God. He began to complain and to gripe at God about how cruel and unfair life was and how God had mistreated him. And I'm often asked, is it okay to be angry with God? And the pious, religiously correct answer is no, of course not. You should never be angry with God. But most of us are not all the time pious, religiously correct people. Am I right? We have real, raw emotions. We have a human sin nature that we wrestle with and that we deal with, and God is aware of that. And God makes room for that, and God has grace for that. Being angry with God shows him that we don't trust him, that we don't think he's just, that we don't think he's fair. And that's wrong. Am I right? But sometimes we feel that way. You can try not to. Don't think about the color blue. What are you thinking about? We can try not to be angry with God, but all we're doing is just hiding what we're really feeling. And the more you hide that, the more you ignore, the more you push aside how you're really feeling, the less you deal with it, the more bitterness starts to build up. And the more bitterness takes root, the more a wall goes up between you and God. Sometimes we do feel like God is unfair. Sometimes we do question his justice or even his love for us when we're going through situations or tragedies that just seem completely unfair. We're frail, fragile human beings, and often, especially in the midst of heartache, we can't see past our own grief to intellectually reason and to think about God's justice and God's holiness. All we can do is feel. And it's in those moments that we really need to understand and remember a few very important things when it comes to being angry at God. First of all, God loves you, and he's pretty big. He can take your anger. The word says, be angry and sin not. So I don't recommend you, you know, like Job's wife said, curse God and die. I don't recommend you do that. But don't feel like you can't talk to God about being angry at him because you're angry at him. God wants to hear from you. And he's a great big God, full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, intimately acquainted with our grief, intimately acquainted with our sadness. And if you're angry at him, he can take it. What he can't take is you turning your back on him. Don't let anger against God separate you from God. I've given this advice in the past. If you're angry at God, tell him. If you've got to pound on the steering wheel in your car and scream and cry and blow snot and may have a big old fit and make a mess, go for it. Because it's in those moments that God can actually speak to you when you're just being raw. But if you just sit there and you withdraw and you stop talking to God and you stop listening to God and you let bitterness build up, God can't communicate to you through that. God can't communicate to you if you won't allow him to. When you're screaming and yelling at God, it's at least communication. He's got something to work with there. But if you allow bitterness to build up a wall, it takes a whole lot of work for God to break down a wall. But God can take your anger. He can handle it. He's a big God full of love, and he can handle it. Number two, when he gets tired of you complaining, or when you start to cross the line, he'll let you know. He let Job know. Job went on and on and on with the woe is me and woe is me, woe is me. God, you're so mean. And after a while, God told Job, shut up. I'm going to ask you a question. Stand up like a man and answer me. That's what God told him. And God began to ask him, where were you when I hung the moon and the stars? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation and gave it a little spin? Where were you when I created every creature on the planet? Where were you in the beginning of time? Where were you, Job? Where were you? Who are you to question me? Who are you to talk to me like that, Job? And Job said at the end of it, God, you're right. I'm sorry. I had no business questioning you like that. So if God gets tired of you complaining, if God gets tired of you being angry with him, he'll let you know. He let Job know, and he'll let you know too. You know, I remember it was several years back. I had been really wounded in church. And I allowed that to build up this wall of bitterness. And my thinking, my mentality was, God, if you don't want to use me, if you don't want to let me serve you, if you don't want me to, you know, have a place, if you want to, you know, want me to be rejected, well, fine. I won't do any, I don't want it then. I don't want anything to do with it. I will quit going to church. Fine. I quit praying. My wife was like, babe, you need to go pray. No, I don't want to pray. I'm mad at God. I don't want to talk to him. That was my attitude. It was childish, I know. But I remember, just plain as day, I remember laying in bed, and it was like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and my wife had just got done telling me again, babe, you need to just pray. You need to just tell God how you're feeling and just pray. And I'm laying there just, no. And in the middle of the darkness, both the darkness in our bedroom and the darkness in my mind, God cut through and he said, would you just quit it? Serious, that's what he said to me. Would you just quit it? And immediately I just started sobbing. I don't know what it was about. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't just the words that he spoke. It was probably who spoke the words that cut through like a knife. But he spoke to me. And it cut through all of my bitterness, all of my anger, all of my frustration. And honest to God, from that point forward, I've never been the same. He got tired of me being a pouty little baby. And he said, just quit. Knock it off. Kind of the same way he did to Job. And the same way that he can do for you. Don't choke down your emotions and try and hide from your emotions or hide how you're feeling. Take it to God. Even if it means you're angry at him and you need to tell him that, take it to God, because it gives him a channel through which he can communicate. It gives him room to be able to work in your life if you're just raw with him. And like I said, my third point on this, don't let your anger push you away from God. The devil would like nothing more than for the tragedy or the grief or the sadness or the hardship in your life to push you away from God. Don't allow that to happen. The devil would like nothing more than for you to get angry at God and blame God and shut God out. Don't allow that to happen. Be raw with God. If you have to scream and cry and throw a fit before the Lord to get your emotions out of the way, do it. But don't let your emotions build a wall between you and God. Don't let that separation grow between you and God, because it will if you allow it. It's better to be angry with God and tell Him than to lie to yourself about being angry with God and quit talking to Him. Amen? We need to be raw with God. We need to be genuine and just give Him our emotions. We need to be real with God and admit when we're actually suffering so that He can carry us. And number three, we need to worship. We need to worship in the face of sadness. We need to worship in the face of heartache. I love reading of David. King David was a man who experienced kingship and all of its perks. But he also suffered tremendous difficulty and sadness in his life. Some of it his own doing, and some of it was just stuff that happened to him because life's not always fair. In many of the Psalms that you read, David starts out saying, God, protect me from my enemies. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. They all want to kill me. I'm going to go out and eat some worms. A lot of the Psalms start out with David talking about how sad he is, or how distraught he is, or how picked on he is. But it always flips around. He always ends it with a praise. God, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, but nevertheless, you're good and you're just and I love you. Job, after everything that Job went through, he kept saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God can take my very life and I'll still trust him. David fasted after David had sinned with Bathsheba, and God spoke through the prophet Nathan, and he told him that David and Bathsheba's son that they had was going to die. 7 days after Nathan prophesied this, the child died. And those 7 days, David spent face down in the dirt, praying, crying, fasting. He wouldn't eat. Grieving. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you'll find that the child did indeed die. And after he died, David got up, he washed his face, combed his hair, he anointed himself, and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Though dealing with grief, dealing with tragedy, dealing with heartache, he got up, and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. And this is a perfect example of how you and I need to respond to grief in our lives. In the middle of our grief, in the middle of our sorrow, we need to take our eyes off of where we are, off the situation, and fix our eyes on God and on His greatness and on His love for us, and begin to worship. And there's something extremely powerful about worshiping God in the face of sadness. There's something extremely powerful about that sacrifice of praise. That praise that doesn't come from a heart that's overflowing, but that praise that comes from a heart that's broken and empty and says, God, I'm going to praise you anyways. I'm going to praise you in spite of everything that's going on. Even though all this is going on in my life, I'm going to praise you. That's the praise that seems to unlock prison doors and break chains, just like it did for Paul and Silas. And it has the ability to break the bonds of bitterness. And it has the ability to tear down those walls of separation that our anger has built up between us and God. When we give ourselves to Him in worship, when we're raw with Him and just tell Him how we feel, when we're real with Him and we admit that there's grief or sadness or tragedy or guilt or shame or whatever it is, if we will just give it to Him, He'll take it and He'll carry us. Through whatever you're facing, God will carry you. He's intimately acquainted with our grief. David wrote in Psalms chapter 58 that God bottles up our tears. If you're facing something this morning that's hard, if you're facing something this morning that's sad, if you're dealing with grief or tragedy, trust God. Trust that He loves you and that He sees and He knows. He's bottled up every tear that you have cried. He's seen every one and He's carrying you. The Word tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted. He's close to those that are brokenhearted. Go ahead and tell me to play something. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. That's God's promise to us this morning. That God will carry us through. Stand with me this morning. In closing this morning, I want to just take a few minutes and I want to be real with God. And I want to be raw with God. And I want to worship God. And if this morning you've been going through something that's hard, if you've been going through a difficulty, or you've been facing grief or sadness or tragedy or whatever it is, just lift your hand. Amen. Amen. And this morning, as we go to the Lord and we take these things to Him in prayer and we lay it all out before Him, I ask that you would remember the Olson and the Buck family this morning in their time of loss. Remember them this morning as they're grieving. Remember them in your prayer this morning. Intercede on their behalf. Go to the Lord for them. Father, we come before you, God, with heavy hearts. Some of us are weighted down with grief and overwhelming despair. Some of us have gone through some things, God, that are just heartbreaking. And Lord, we come before you, and we're just going to be real with you. We hurt. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And there are parts of this body that are suffering, God, and we all suffer. We come before you, God, and we hurt. We're going to be raw with you this morning, God. There are those of us who blame you. Silly as it may seem in our intellectual minds, our sin-burdened hearts, God, our sin nature, we can't help our emotions sometimes. And there are those of us, God, that blame you. There are those of us that feel that some of the things that you've allowed to happen haven't been fair. And God, as we're just being raw with you and open before you, I ask that you would pour in healing. I ask that you would reassure us that you are good, that your mercy endures forever, that you have a perfect plan, that everything we go through will work out for good, not for our earthly good, but in the molding and the shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ. Reassure us, God, that you're carrying us. As we're raw before you and we're dealing with these emotions, God, I pray that you would bless us, touch us, reassure us that you're carrying us through. God, those that are here this morning that are wrestling with things, God, I pray that you would minister healing to their hearts. And Lord, we bring to you this morning a sacrifice of praise. There are those of us that are hurting, God, but we're going to worship you anyways. Not because of what you have done or what you might do or what you did do, but because of who you are. You're worthy to be praised, worthy of all honor, worthy of all worship, worthy of our adoration. We worship you, God. Though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning, and we're going to worship you in the night. Until the morning gets here, God, we're going to worship you. We're going to praise you no matter what we go through, no matter what we face. We're going to praise you, God. Lord, the needs that have been represented here, the needs that have been represented here by an uplifted hand, God. Lord, the prayer requests that are known and that are unspoken and that are unknown, we take them to you. Each one of us, we take them to you now and we lay them at your feet. We're being real with you. We're being raw with you. And we know that you're carrying us. And God, now we worship. Now we worship. Now we praise. Lord, we adore you. We bring you a sacrifice of praise.